You're listening to The Music Show on RN. Now, there's a new oboe concerto for Diana Doherty, and Nigel Westlake has composed it. It's called Spirit of the Wild, and both of them came into The Music Show studio the other day to talk about it. I asked Nigel if he could tell us, first of all, about his trip to Bathurst Harbour with Bob Brown.
Yeah, I met Bob Brown a couple of years ago at a conference, and the final thing he said to me was, oh, if you're ever in Tassie, look me up and I'll take you to the wilderness. I thought, oh yeah, he probably says that to everyone. 7 months later, I was in Tassie working with the Tasmanian Symphony, and I got in touch with him. I said, you know, let me get some tickets for the show. And he said, oh, I bought them all for the family the moment they came on sale, and we're all coming. And by the way, what are you doing the day after? Let's go to the wilderness. And I couldn't believe it. Yeah,
he's a man of his word.
He is indeed. A bunch of us came along with him. My wife Janice and Michael Kieran Harvey, the pianist, was there. And we headed off to Bathurst Harbour, which is the southwest coast of Tasmania, right in the sort of protected wilderness, World Heritage Wilderness area. And spent a day there with Bob chauffeuring us around. He knows all about the flora and fauna, of course. And we took a boat trip out into the harbour. Yeah, it's just an incredible wild place, buffeted by trade winds for many thousands of years. And yes, it's not a soul to be seen, no evidence of civilization at all, apart from the landing strip. Very inspirational to be literally at the ends of the earth like that.
And did you know while you were there that this was going to be a piece of music, this experience?
No. Well, I'd actually begun work on the concerto prior. I'd written maybe a quarter of it or something and been throwing a few ideas around. And when I came back into the studio after this trip, I just found that the trip had sort of totally infiltrated my consciousness and, well, maybe subconscious. It was sort of leaving its fingerprints on the score in subtle and mysterious ways. And
can you describe any of those subtle and mysterious ways?
Well, it's all a bit esoteric, really.
And we like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly no pictorial narrative of any sort, but I guess it's just the importance of the area and the importance of having those beautiful sacred spaces is what I was thinking about while I was writing the rest of the piece. And I hope that some of that is kind of present in the work.
Some of the time you're a film composer. I don't know whether you actually make that distinction in your head between being a capital C composer and a film composer, but when you're writing a piece of music which at some level relates to a place, does the film composer sort of, you know, put his hand up and say, you know, I could do this. I could write seascapes.
You might have something in there, Andy. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to quantify, but I guess, you know, with film, you are very much tied to the form of the picture, the cut of the picture and so on. There's not a hell of a lot of freedom there to move. So to have a kind of abstract concert work is a very different kind of headspace to be working in. But I think you're right that some of that definitely does come through, you know, working with images and having to support images and, you know, now transferring that to supporting images in your own head.
Yes, yes. You said, Nigel, that you'd already started the piece and when you went to Bathurst Harbour. And I read somewhere that the start of the piece was you putting Diana in front of a microphone and saying, play some stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you play, I'll write it down.
Yeah, it's kind of a different approach, I guess. But in the last couple of years, finished working on a song cycle with Lior, where he was actually, you know, coming to the table with all these melodies pre-prepared and lyrics that he'd discovered. And I really enjoyed that collaborative process. I'd never worked like that before. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to bring Diana in to this process early on? And, you know, it's a very courageous thing that she did to come to the studio and just literally improvised, you know.
So you had no notes in front of you at all?
No.
Nothing.
No, at first I had nothing at all. And then I said to Nigel, could you maybe just play me some chords, you know, some harmonies to improvise within, you know, like sort of around. That helped a lot. And then I don't know if you remember, but then I asked you for a pulse and sort of harmony and pulse. And then because one thing I love about Nigel's work and really wanted to, hoped he would put in this one is that kind of rhythmic energy that shapeshifts almost, you know, with different accents and things, and how that affects the balance. And and so I wanted to kind of improvise a bit with that, more with rhythm than with melody. And so that was really fun too.
And do you recognise your improvisation in the piece? Can you hear what you did all of that time ago?
Kind of, not precisely. I hear some of my multiphonics, but melodically and possibly less than rhythm. Or maybe I was imitating Nigel when I was improvising rhythmically. I don't know. But we do seem to have found something, you know, a commonality there that, yeah, we share.
You said multiphonics, and there will be people listening to this who haven't a clue what a multiphonic is. Could you show us a multiphonic?
Sure. Well, a multiphonic on the oboe, it's a, well, I guess it's a kind of a chord, but it's not a very nice one. It's it's basically a different fingering. There are several that work, and they often involve forks, which kind of breaks up the sound, like. That kind of thing. They're not really chords as such, but there are multiple pitches in there.
Yes, but they sound like chords.
Yeah. I couldn't notate them for you.
No, but you need to know the fingering, really, don't you, if you're going to write one of those. If you want that one, you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I remember talking to Ross Edwards about the concerto he wrote for you, and he said you sent it back to him and told him it wasn't hard enough. Have you had any problems like this with Nigel?
I was a bit nicer than that, I think. There was a cute episode where back in those days it was kind of phone and fax. And I got this fax from Ross with a handwritten line of music and, is this too hard? And so I rang him up and I played it to him over the phone, and that was nice. But, you know, Ross actually, he learnt the oboe for like a year when he was a teenager, and he said, he didn't know that oboes could play anything faster than minims. So we just had to meet in the middle somewhere. No, I think he was kidding.
You're able to play us an excerpt from this piece, which, as we talk, has yet to have its first performance. How are you able to do this?
Because Nigel has very kindly provided me with an accompaniment MIDI version. He's got this state-of-the-art setup. How would you call it, with sampled musicians, so that you can really, this horns sound almost like horns, and the violins really do sound like violins.
And the oboe is certainly going to sound like an oboe.
Well, yes, that I'm going to do myself, hopefully.
Well, maybe if you go and set yourself up, maybe Nigel, you could tell us whereabouts this excerpt fits in your piece.
Well, the piece is in four sections, even though it's played as a continuum. The four sections are sort of... have a bit of a breath in between, but I think of it as a single movement work. So this is the third section you might regard as a slow movement, and what Diana's about to play is the last kind of third of the slow section leading into the final section, which is a more sort of uplifting, motoric, quite energetic section. And so she's going to play a little bit into the final movement, if you like.
Okay, so this is a section from Spirit of the Wild, the oboe concerto that Nigel Westlake has composed for Diana Doherty, and we have a sort of computer mock-up of what the Sydney Symphony Orchestra might sound like on the night. Thank you. Yes, well, I don't think you needed any harder than that, Diana. Nigel was talking to Ross, I think, before he wrote that. Thank you very much indeed. That we heard some of Nigel Westlake's Oboe Concerto, Spirit of the Wild. Diana Doherty was playing with a computer mock-up of an orchestra, which does sound, as you say, very much like an orchestra. Is this in some... I mean, I read a statement of yours, Nigel, where you were talking about mankind's tendency to become taken over by materialism and how we don't care enough for the natural world. Is this a protest piece in a way?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hymn to nature in my mind. It's a tribute to those wild places that really we need and we'd be nothing without. Yes, I must... Yeah, you've nailed me.
Well, I ask you partly because on tomorrow's music show we're talking to Alex Ross, the music critic of The New Yorker, who's been writing recently about the role of the arts in general and music in particular in, well, specifically Trump's America, but in any case, in a world where political values are shifting. And he doesn't come to any firm conclusion, but maybe you have some thoughts, either of you have some thoughts about what artists do at a time when the arts themselves seem increasingly undervalued.
That's a biggie.
Yeah.
I mean, do you just go on as... I suppose one possibility is that you just go on going on. But do you perhaps have to say something in your music? Do you have to write a piece like this that nails its colours to an environmental mast?
Personally, I feel that it's increasingly important, and I found this in my own work, to gravitate towards these sorts of issues. And in a sense, my early work, Compassion, was exactly orientated around that.
This is the piece with Leo you were talking
that's
about.
That's right, yes, which is comprised of Hebrew and Arabic texts in the same work. So it's a political statement, essentially, saying, you know, we're all in this together. Let's all get on with it and kind of see the beauty and the joy in each other. And so I do think that it's an important step for us as artists to take, to grasp those elements of life that we feel are important and passionate about, and to find a way to express them, you know, without taking on a sort of religious zeal, but just sort of opening up the conversation and presenting ideas and so forth for, you know, for discussion and entertainment also.
You were in New York, in fact, recently, conducting the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. You can't really say that enough, can you? That sort of rolls off the tongue. The New York Philharmonic Orchestra conducted by Nigel Westlake.
I can't even say it's a dream come true because I would never, ever dare to have that dream.
doing Babe.
Yeah. Well, I'd reorchestrated the Babe score recently by the request of the Melbourne Symphony to perform it live. And somehow the New York Phil found out about it and invited me over, which is a... very exciting.
And, of course, yeah. Diana, you're an old hand with the New York Philharmonic.
Well, my dream came true a bit longer ago, perhaps. But, yeah, it was just the once, playing the Ross Edwards with the New York Philharmonic as well.
And yes, but I can't help thinking that now that we're on a bit of a roll and we've got another oboe concerto by an Australian composer for you, and on this occasion the conductor himself has actually conducted the orchestra.
Ah,
it's
amazing.
Got to happen, hasn't it?
I see where you're heading with this, Andy.
I'm the phone hasn't rung yet, put it that way.
the premiere hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It's happening this week in the Sydney Opera House. You can hear this new oboe concerto by Nigel Westlake, Spirit of the Wild, played by Diana Doherty with the Sydney Symphony Orchestra on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you very much indeed, both of you, for being my guests on The Music Show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.